Hello, this is Roy Lilly. Well, look, I've got a present for you. A little gift to cheer you up. Bring a spring to your step and a smile to your cherub-like face. Now, I haven't bothered to wrap it, and I don't need Amazon to deliver it. I'll give it to you now. It's a word. And that word is boondoogling. Boondoogling, eh? What about that? Boon, B-O-O-N. D-O-G-G-L-I-N-G, boondoogling. Mark my words, it will come in useful. Well, what does it mean? Well, it's an archaic term for doing meaningless work. It originated in the 1930s in the US to describe make-work projects or tasks that were perceived as wasteful or unnecessary, particularly during the Great Depression. Now, I have a list of people here and now who've been boondoogling. They are 19 of the great and good, members of the paywall Times Health Commission, and I've linked to who they are this morning. They've spent the last year, as far as I can see, boondoogling, looking under the bonnet of the NHS with the aim of telling us how we've all been doing it wrong and what we should be doing to put it right. They've cogitated, ruminated, pontificated, examined and given us 10 things to do that will save the NHS. Now, one of the basic rules in innovating and making change is to ask, is this really innovative? Have we or someone else tried it before? And the killer questions, if we have tried it before, why aren't we doing it now? And if we're not, why didn't it work? The knobby 19 are too knobby to get their hands dirty to ask the basics. Look, here I'm going to give you the 10 ideas. Here we go. Number one, create digital health accounts and passports to book appointments, tests, letters and stuff. Now, this is low level and simple, but held back by poor interoperability. Joe Harrison, who is the chief executive of the fabulous Milton Keynes Hospital, is running the development of the NHS app right now. And he will tell you he's all over this and he's doing it right now. What's missing from this knobby brainwave is patients owning their own records, granting clinicians access as required. Now, there are too many docs on the panel to be this radical and this transparent, but they do it in Australia. And the funny thing is, the person who made it happen in Australia tried to make it happen here. The ebullient, indefatigable Tim Kelsey was actually, well, defatigated by gutless politics, poor Department of Health comms, a hostile press and inadequate budgets. Number two, high-intensity operating lists. Well, much is made of the Guy's and Tommy's conveyor belt approach to surgery, and I linked to it. Which was a triumph, not really of surgery, but of PR. It's about as new as a white fiver. The John Radcliffe was doing something like this years ago. Lewisham, Medway, Kings are doing it now. In fact, Geoffrey Robinson's 2007 TV series, Can Robinson Fix the NHS, pioneered some such in Rotherham. The limits are on procedures, the suitability of patients, the building design, staffing and money, and getting it wrong. And I link to a very interesting study of this. It's worth a look. It is an error to focus on the gains made by a single surgeon rather than viewing total productivity across two operating theatres. Number three, convert the GP contract to focus on outcomes. Well, as GPs cannot be responsible for what happens after they've made a referral, you can forget most of that. Encourage more super practices, fine. Bring money. Sort out social care, fix commissioning, and bring more money. What happened to the Vanguard initiatives? Number four, write off student loans. Yep, I've been banging on about this for ages. Biden is doing it, but brace yourself for the other students in other disciplines who want the same treatment. Number five, no blame compensation, a la Sweden and New Zealand, I suppose. However, to make it work here, patients have to be barred from seeking recourse to legislation, and that infringes the EU Convention of Human Rights, Brexit having locked us into compliance. Number six, a national care system. Well, it'll take 10 years, and I linked to a very interesting report on it. And it's impossible without a consolidation of the supply side of care, all the little domiciliary care providers. Number 7, 4-week guarantee for children and young people requiring mental health support. Mental health is in such a mess, it's well beyond the NHS to deliver. Number 8, tackle obesity with what the Nobby 19 call a sugar tax approach. Well, it's not tax-based. It's a levy and works entirely differently to taxation. Banning advertising for fatty foods and whatnot, blah, blah. It doesn't work. And I link to a report that proves it doesn't work. Number 9, incentivize NHS consultants and seniors with 20% protected time to take part in research. That's 1/5 of their working week. Really? The Times commissioners must be living on planet Nobby. And lastly, number 10, a healthy, I can hardly say this, a healthy lives committee. Yeah, a healthy lives committee. Cross-party working and catching flying pigs. More jobs for the Nobbies. Give me strength. The Nobby 19 might as well spend a year grinding water for all the good any of this hokum will achieve. You'd have done the job with half a dozen recommendations on the back of an envelope. 1, a carefully trained, curated and cared for workforce. Number 2, a serious attempt at sorting social care right now. Number 3, vertically integrated primary care. Number 4, ring-fence funding for a digital-first NHS, IT interoperability, face recognition login, and investment in data analysis. Number 5, a clear revenue and capital 10-year funding programme. And number 6, a cradle-to-grave focus, not on health, but on wellness. It seems to me the further up the tree you get, the further you are from getting your feet on the ground and reality. What have the Nobbies spent a year doing? Well, I've given you the word for it, and I told you it would come in useful. Thanks for listening. This has been Roy Lilly, and I hope we'll speak again soon. Bye-bye now.